Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. And as an example of that, during this second hour from 3 to 3:30 p.m. today, I'll be discussing some wonderful news. Since May of 2000 of this year, I've been mentioning the need for clean water for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. Nearly all the people on the Hopi Reservation have been drinking arsenic-contaminated, carcinogenic water for decades thanks to local mining companies, which have been pumping out the Hopi water and leaving them with very polluted carcinogenic water. But there's good news. A wonderful lady has stepped forward to donate $30,000, which will be enough to provide clean water filters for everyone on the Hopi Reservation, so everyone now will have clean drinking water. This is wonderful news. I'm going to be bringing on Leon McLaughlin of the Washington Clean Water Foundation on, as well as Michiko Hayashi, the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, Verna Masevia, an elder with the Hopi tribe in Arizona, and Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network in Seattle to celebrate this wonderful news. There's other people, too, who've helped this, including Ernest Toe and others, and Mr. Glazier. But there's been so many wonderful people stepping forward to help with this effort, and I'm so glad now that the Hopis down in Arizona will now be able to drink clean water. Then, during the second part of this second hour, from 3:35 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be playing an interview with a wonderful lady named Birgitta Jonestor, who was a member of the Icelandic Parliament. And she was instrumental in having the bankers who helped destroy Iceland's economy in 2008 arrested and put in jail. Isn't that amazing? She and others achieved justice and created positive and economic and structural change in Iceland. This was done at a time when our own government here in the United States gave banks trillions of taxpayer dollars, which unfortunately did nothing to help the economy because very little of the money was actually used to help citizens with their mortgages. And none of the bankers who caused the 2008 economic crash in the United States were arrested or punished. Her example of what people can do to make this economy more responsive to citizens has many lessons here for the United States. And this is a two-part interview. It's the first interview, which will be played today, and the second part will be played next week. Then in 2 weeks, on December 1st, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., excuse me, I'll have a very special psychic and hot a very special fair in Olympia. The fair will be held at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia. It's located about an hour south of Seattle, off of exit 111 or exit 14. I'll be giving a presentation on scalar energy, and at 12 noon, I'll also be giving a free update lecture on my book that was published last year called Messages from the Masters. There will be other psychics there as well, and I will be giving free readings for everyone who comes. It's my way of paying back to doing nice things for people. So many people have supported the show, and I'd like to do that. And with that, also, I'll be doing my a Galactic Wisdom Conference at the same location on April 12th to the 16th, 2019. If you register before the end of the year, the fee for registration is only $55. And we have a new trip, which will be coming right after that. From April 19th to April 28th, 2019, we'll be going down to the Hopi Reservation to visit Hopi sacred sites and meeting with Hopi elders. We'll also be seeing Sedona as well. The cost will be $400 per person, and all net proceeds from the trip will be split between the Moto Peace Project for Children's Books and the Hopi. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. And with that, I'd like to bring on as many people as possible to celebrate this wonderful news. I think, Michiko, are you there from Tokyo?
Hi, Ted. Yes, I'm here. I'm in Tokyo now.
Oh, good.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well, I was going to ask you about this this wonderful water filters and how your office will be involved in giving out children's books.
Thank you for asking. Yes, with this filter, we are putting Dr. Emoto's love and gratitude water crystal sticker on this filter, on each filter, because love and gratitude has the vibration of immunity and it gives the most beautiful vibration to water. Whenever they drink using this water filter, each person, whenever they drink that water, will be drinking water with love and gratitude energy.
Wonderful.
So, and also, we will be distributing a free book of this, the Message from Water children's book, to each family. That's something everyone can learn how sacred water is, what the truth of water is, and how beautiful love and gratitude is for all beings. And they will learn that water is life.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, I have a special friend on, a special person on, Vernon, from the Hopi, who's now an elder with the tribe. Vernon, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, great, Vernon.
Hi, Vernon. This is Michiko.
Hello.
Hi, it's good to see. Good to hear your voice. How are you, Vernon?
Yeah, same here.
I am so happy that we can help provide all these filters to everyone on Hopi Reservation with Dr. Emoto's love and gratitude sticker on it and the children's books.
It's pretty amazing.
It is. I am so grateful. I am so happy.
I didn't know that this would turn into a very good project, a big project.
It's going to be a big project. Thank you. You know, when you are really pure and good-hearted, always there's help from above. And thank you to Ted Marf for announcing this over and over this past several months. And with Leon from Clean Water Foundation and Martha from Natural Choice Network, everyone wants to help the Hopi people.
Well,
I'm glad to hear that.
You know, Vernon, I know it was a blow to you and your community there back in 2015 when you tried to get help from the federal government for clean water, and you were refused. When I heard about that earlier this year, I said to myself, I know there's a lot of good people out there, and I know people will want to help, so I just got to get the word out, and now it's happened. So I'm just so pleased for that, Vernon. I don't know the time frame for getting the water filters down there, but I know it'll be done as soon as possible. And with that, I'd like to bring on Leon. Were we able to get a hold of Leon? Good. Okay. Great. Leon, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ted.
Okay, good. Good, Leon. Vernon, I don't know, you probably have talked to Leon McLaughlin before, but he's a wonderful man. And he runs what's called the Washington Clean Water Foundation, and they're their organization, the nonprofit, who will be having these filters made and delivering. Now, the other thing, too, is I have a conference here in Olympia, Washington, called the Galactic Wisdom Conference in early April. And after that, I want to bring down water filters, too, if necessary, down to you and personally deliver as many as I can. So we'll get them down to you one way or the other as soon as possible. Leon, why don't you introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about your work?
Yes, I'm Leon McLaughlin, CEO of the Clean Water Foundation, and we work with nonprofits to deliver clean, fresh drinking water to children around the world. The good news is that we're now working with the Hopi tribe to deliver water units for the whole reservation. And with the generous donation that we'll be receiving, we will be providing water units for the whole reservation, and we're looking at doing it all by Christmas. So this will be a great Christmas present to actually have the water unit delivered there for Christmas.
Wow, that's fantastic.
That's really good, really good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Leon.
Do you know how many filters they need at Hopi Reservation?
We're working on that right now with Ernest from the Hopi tribe that does the water. He's head of, like, the water department, who's working hand-in-hand with Vernon. But we're looking at providing water and opening up a water store along with doing mobile water units to bring to the locations that has no running water at all. So say if there's a location with no running water, the people will be able to go to the water store to get the water, and it won't be any charge. It'll be free. So we decided that we're going to have a water store for the people that have no running water, because it is a some locations with no running water. Correct, Ernest? Correct, Vernon, I mean? Yeah. So we're getting all those numbers together now.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Wonderful.
So we can report to all these people who are who have been supporting us.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful.
Good, good. Wonderful.
And with
thank you so much.
With the filters, Michiko, as I understand it, there'll be a copy of Dr. Moto's Messages from Water book. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're going to be distributing to all people, so hundreds of books will be distributed to the Hopi Reservation.
Wonderful.
I know that Vernon knows so much about the message from water, right, Vernon?
Yes. He's a good friend of mine. I worked with him for a brief period of time, but during that time, I really learned a lot from him, and hopefully he did the same from me. We, the first one that wrote a book that resonated with Hopi, understanding of the nature of water. You know that water does respond to human behavior, emotions. This is how the Hopi people have been able to survive as what they call dry farmers out in the desert that gets about 10 inches of rain a year and no rivers or lakes to irrigate the fields. Yet we're still planting the corn our ancestors carried over from the third world, we call third world, which is so located somewhere in old Mexico. We're still planting it the old way, the traditional way. And and the only way we're able to do it is to, you know, communicate with the water ancestors through prayers and meditations. And when our hearts are together, our minds and hearts are together, it creates energy that vibrates out to the cloud people, and they return in gladness, bringing water to earth. And that's our our belief about the nature of water. That's our science.
I think it's, yes, that is the truth. And people will, the message from water shows that is the truth. Water is trying to tell everyone what the truth is. And water is so sacred. Water receives our mind, our heart, and reads our heart and mind if it's really pure. And they will be with us and will be helping us and connect with everything in nature.
You're exactly right. And we've we've been with water all our, ever since time, ever since the creation of time, because Hopi say water has many faces. For example, we are born out of a liquid, and our body solidifies, and when we pass away, then the water leaves our body as breath, the vapor, and it joins the cloud people. And then and comes back, bringing rain and snow to replenish the breath of our Mother Earth, from whom we all drink. That's basically our belief,
And
so we've been, we are part of the water cycle, hydrologic water cycle. The Western science say, no, we have nothing to do with it, mankind. But Hopi say, we are the water cycle.
You know, water I think a lot of problems started when we human beings started to be disconnected from water. We have to be connected with water again. And that's why the message from water is so important. More than anything, people have to go back. Everybody has to go back to water. Then everything will be peaceful, harmonious, and we will be just living, sharing, and living in peace.
That's we have and we have a power to do that because water is energy. And it's say, some people say 70% of our body is water. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of energy stored in our body, but we're not conscious of the fact that it creates power, energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then we can use that, to bring holiness back to Earth is what we all need
exactly.
to be doing as human beings. Yeah.
Oh, you're mm-hmm. absolutely right. This is so wonderful yeah. that you are announcing that, talking about it now on air. Thank you so much, Vernon.
Vernon, on behalf of everyone listening today, and of course Leon and all the wonder and Martha. And Martha, are you there? Martha is. Let me try to get Martha on. Good, Martha. Hi. I didn't want to forget about you.
Hi. Well, it's funny because, you know, we've talked about all the synchronicities that brought us all together and all the interconnections. And Leon and I, it just really occurred to us the other day that all the roads led to the Hopi, even where he decided to get his, where the whole thing emerged for Leon was Mexico, right?
Yep, that's
Mexico.
Right.
Yeah. And
that's exactly
South
right.
America. And we just recently, and I feel like it was definitely, you know, a seed that was just planted, but we came up with the phrase for this effort, flow, FLOW, for love of water. And I think it's just going to be a really wonderful catch-all phrase that says everything that we're talking about here. And what a great movement that is actually starting from all of this. And just this morning, I got an email from somebody that has the quote on it, and it says, water is water, no matter what its shape or form. The solidity of ice imagines itself to be its edges and density. Melting, it remembers. Evaporating, it ascends.
Yeah, right.
Brennan,
wow.
You know what? What do you do to water? You do to yourself. You poison water, you poison yourself.
Right.
Exactly.
That's important to know. You know, if you talk to water with love, gladness, it strengthens you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a healing power.
That's right.
There's so much to for us to be teaching the world about Hopi beliefs about water. You know, and I just delivered a speech at the. I think it was called 2018 Parliament on World Religion at mm-hmm. Toronto, Canada, mm-hmm. at which I talk about water, the importance of water, the sacredness of water, that it's not a commodity mm-hmm. that you trade and make and enrich yourself. You know, it's life, and all living things have a right to life. That was kind of my message to the parliament.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful.
And that's
well,
so true because of the fact that just like air, you know, right. we got a right to breathe air. We got a right to drink clean water. It's not
sure.
a commodity.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. And now that everyone's come together and all roads did lead to the Hopi together, this message and, you know, learn your teachings and the Hopi teachings, with all of us together, that can all be amplified outward now.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think that's
sure.
that's just
certainly.
A beautiful synchronicity of it all. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is going to, this movement will be growing fast everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's not only like providing clean water, but this is the teachings of
exactly.
important water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Ted? Can I just bring in one other issue that I also
of course, Vernon. Anything you like, my
parliament.
Friend.
It has to do with water.
Okay.
Just very briefly, right now there is in court adjudication going on in Arizona court. People claiming water to Little Colorado River Basin. All the sources of water,
mm-hmm.
surface water, underground rivers that drain into the canyon,
mm-hmm.
and aquifers stored under a very sacred place called Sipap. It's very, very important. Hopis call it the the place of emergence from the third to the fourth world. Mm-hmm. And all of our religious ceremonies and beliefs are tied directly to this very, very sacred place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like our Torah, you
sure.
know?
Sure, sure.
Very that important, but now the water that's supplying Sipapu is declining, and the elders are very concerned that this is going to affect the health of Sipapu, which breathes. It breathes. The water comes in and out. But one elder, in his last pilgrimage, said the water no longer is coming out. It's way down. It's, the heart is dying.
He said, man.
The heart of the fourth world, of the
mm-hmm.
Hopi,
mm-hmm.
is dying, and we've got to do something. But they have no lawyers to represent them. And so... the lower court in Arizona has already made a decision that Hopis have no right to any water sources in the Little Colorado River Basin because it lies outside the land. And the problem with that kind of decision is that they're only talking about consumptive uses,
mm-hmm.
like how much water are Hopis using now and how much water are they going to be using down the road, consumption. And they're not even talking about non-consumptive use. And that has to do with water that for millions of years has kept Sipapu and healthy. They're not even talking about that. So basically, our rights to practice our religion is being denied to us. And we're very concerned that it's now in a superior court, Arizona Superior Court. And we have every reason to believe that the Superior Court judge will uphold the lower court decision. And that is going to be devastating to the Hopis. And so now we have written a proclamation. I won't talk about it too much. But the proclamation is to either extend the Grand Canyon National Park to include Sipapu in the ecological area.
Yeah.
And if we can get that, we need... we're having a petition to calling on the federal government to set aside that Sipapu as a nationally, federally protected area. That's what we're doing right now.
Well,
we also have prepared a United Nations declaration, which is now on the website, that we hope will garner attention. Because it's calling on United Nations to protect all the historic sacred sites all over the world, not just on Hopi. We're doing it for everybody. And we got that one done.
Well,
so we're kind of moving pretty good on two fronts. That's kind of my main focus right now. And so I was very fortunate to meet Ernest about a year ago now, and I never knew him, but he's been a tremendous help. He volunteers all his time to help me with the research, and I'm going to invite him to be participate in the Little Colorado River monitoring program. We're going to start that project to monitor
Ernest
all the water.
Absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I thought I'd bring that up. You know, I mean, I've got a lot to say about it, and I've been writing quite a bit about it. So I'll be sharing my thoughts with all of you.
Well, Vernon,
absolutely, we're happy.
Vernon, let us know how we can be of help, because
I have
a large audience worldwide in this program, and I know there must be attorneys listening out there, and I'm sure some of them would like to maybe donate some of their time. Welcome to help the Hopi. The second issue is that how can you get justice in an Arizona court that's focused in on state law. I'm not saying they're racist, but you might be better off in a federal court rather than in a state forum where the judges would be against you anyway.
Maybe because I say maybe because I'm finding out through my experience with federal laws and regulations that they really, really don't serve indigenous people well at all.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's like National Environmental Protection Act does not protect the environment.
Right.
Calls for a process of consultation. It doesn't protect.
Right.
So basically what I joked about was that it should be renamed National Economic, what do you call it, Protection. Because it all boils down to money.
Right.
Money always wins over the environment.
Well,
we're not going to let it.
Black Mesa, we're very, very fortunate. Finally, after 20 years of fighting to shut down Peabody coal mining, which was using 1.2 billion gallons of pristine water, drawing it out of the deep desert, that's ending next year. The mining is shutting down next year.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And excellent.
We're celebrating.
If we make a petition, will it help?
Pardon me?
If we make a petition, do you think it'll help?
Oh, yeah.
All the people signing up?
It would help to put pressure on the federal government.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They said, you've got to carry out your trust responsibility to the indigenous people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there is... right now, our United Nations declaration to protect indigenous sites that I didn't know about until last month from a lawyer who told me about that. And they said, I didn't know there's such a thing exists. Yeah, it's accepted by the United Nations.
Yeah.
I said, thank you. You know, so the more pressure we put on the government, the state government, the federal government, I think we are going to persevere. I mean, what we're doing is protecting the First Amendment rights under the United States Constitution.
Right.
Freedom of religion.
Right.
That's really what we're doing.
Well, isn't CPAS important to the whole planet, not just the Hopi?
Yeah. I didn't quite hear you.
The sacred site there, CPOP. Isn't that important to the entire planet, not just the Hopi?
No. It's CPOP is shaped like a giant anthill, and that's where. This is a long story, but. Hope is also call it umbilical cord because it's our pathway to the spiritual world, like the Vatican is a doorway to God in heaven. You know, there's another God down below, deep in the ocean. People don't know about that. There's two gods working together. They both work together. To keep the earth in balance. But one of the big springs of all the hundreds of springs that are draining out of the wall is Blue Springs. It's called Blue Spring. It is huge. And the source of that water is Black Mesa, where Peabody is overdrafting the aquifer water, thereby depressuring it. So it's impacting the flow underground river.
I was going to keep this short, but this is getting so interesting. I have a second segment I was going to play in a couple of minutes. Regarding that I did in Iceland with a member of parliament there on how they arrested and put their bankers in jail in 2008 to clean up the economy.
Yeah.
I think I was going to play that in two parts. I think what I'm going to do, Eric, why don't we just hold that till next week? I'll hold it till next week. And you guys can continue. You've got the rest of the hour to continue, because I think this is going well. This discussion's good. So go ahead, Vernon.
Ted, you know, I had this. Well, I had a feeling that this might happen.
Yeah. Well, it's
I know this is really important.
This is important. And for those of you who are tuning in now to listen to this interview in Iceland, I had. I was going to split it between today and next week and play part of the interview today and part next week, but I'll just run it as one full hour next week. I think that's better for flow anyway.
That's good. That's good. Thank you.
The love of water.
But Vernon, I want to tell you, and I want to continue with your thought in a minute, but I want to tell you that everyone listening to this show today, I know, care about clean water for the Hopi. They care about you. They love you. And the basic human nature of humanity on this planet is to be loving and kind and giving. And people don't want to see the Hopi suffer. We don't want you to see you drink carcinogenic, arsenic-filled water. We don't want to see your religious areas destroyed for the sake of profit. And we certainly don't want to see some little court in Arizona that has the audacity to trample your rights and trample this planet, and that will be overturned. I guarantee it. It took me six months to get, I worked on it for 6 months, mentioning it almost on every radio program to get donations now for clean water for the Hopi. It finally happened just a few days ago. Give me another 6 months, and we'll get a movement together, and we will stop the people in Arizona who are trying to destroy your reservation and this sacred site.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much. Peabody has pumped close to 50 billion gallons of our sole source drinking water, which is pristine fossil water that was put there during the Ice Age. And that's not renewable water because it's contained in what the hydrologists call a confined aquifer, meaning it's a big bowl with a saran wrap over it, and so there's no possibility of recharge to that pristine water. And that's what Peabody's been using to slurry coal from our mesa to Nevada, to Laughlin, Nevada, about 280 miles away through a big slurry pipeline. What they do is, what the company does is they grind up the coal and mix it with that pristine water, and then transport it to a power plant in Laughlin, Nevada. Mm-hmm. And the company that does the transporting insists on using an aquifer water, pristine water, one of the best water you can find anywhere. Mm-hmm. And the reason they demand, insist on using that water is because it's so soft, it doesn't corrode the pipes.
I see.
And they haven't done any major maintenance on the pipeline up to the end of 2005 when we shut the pipeline down, Black Mesa Trust, along with other environmental organizations. We finally accomplished that. But here's another... the whole thing was designed. The coal was coal mining started in 1970. It's the world's largest strip mining operation, and the purpose of it was mainly to pump water to create energy to pump water from Colorado River through an open canal clear up to Phoenix and Tucson, and they've been. That was the main purpose, and the United States Congress put up about $100 million to build one of the three units, and the Bureau of Reclamation runs the plant as a partner in this big massive generating operation, to make sure that this happens, the U.S. Secretary of Interior, Stuart Udall, and a lawyer for Hopi Tribe, They negotiated a deal, or the lawyer for the Hopi tribe single-handedly negotiated a deal with the mining company. And guess how much guess how much the price is. You're not going to believe this. $1.67 per acre feet.
Really? Acre feet of water?
Acre feet is 365,000 gallons. Wow. For that much water, we got $1.67. $1.67.
Wow.
It's now gone up to 150, but it's still a bargain price when you consider how much money the cities are paying for water up here in the West.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
That to me is it's criminal what they did to us.
Wow.
And they also do not, or the government does not require Peabody Energy Company to put up a groundwater reclamation plan and bond. So they're just going to walk away next year when the mining shut down.
Wow.
They're not going to do anything to reclaim that water, close to 50 million gallons at this point.
Wow.
That, to me, is so sad.
Yeah.
I just can't believe our government, our trustee, would do this to us, the Hopi people, the peaceful people.
Brennan?
I just want to bring that out as something for the audience to know about.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brennan.
We're going to be starting another project. This is Black Mesa Trust, a nonprofit organization. We're going to be calling off for restitution to have the companies. There's seven owners of metal generating stations that have benefited tremendously at our expense, and they, to me, out of the courtesy or economic justice, they need to bring some of that money back to Hopi and Navajo.
Sure, sure.
I mean, it's not asking a lot,
right?
You
right.
know, and we're going to start that project probably. I don't know. I'm too busy with CPAL right now.
Right,
I can't
right.
be doing all these projects. But we're going to start that campaign.
Sure.
So it's something also for people to know about.
Sure, sure. Brennan,
we're not asking for charity.
Sure.
All we're asking for is economic justice, so we can use it to start restoring Black Mesa.
Sure, I understand.
You know, on Black Mesa, a university research field school from Northern Arizona University mapped out, identified over 2,500 historic and prehistoric sites on the Peabody leasehold area. And that suggests there's a lot of burials out there.
Sure.
And we have no record. We asked for the records, but we were told we had to be very specific about what we're looking for. And we don't know. No, that's why we're asking the question, what happened to all the burials that either were, you know, accidentally or deliberately destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
About over 2,000 artifacts that were taken to the university to be studied. When are you guys bringing that back?
Sure.
See, this is another issue that we are challenged to face, and we're doing this as a nonprofit organization because our government is not that supportive, unfortunately.
Vernon?
So we're taking it upon ourselves as grassroots people. Hope is leaving 12 independent villages. They're sovereign villages.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the right to speak out,
sure.
which is what they're starting to do right now, and I'm very encouraged by that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Vernon, forgive me for interrupting. Michiko, you have a question for Vernon?
Well, hi, Vernon. Thank you, Ted. Yeah, I was just wondering, I remember as I was hearing what Vernon shared with us, I remember that Dr. Emoto, when I think it was 2008 or 9, when Dr. Emoto was invited to Water Conference, Water Forum, that was held in Mexico, where I went along with him. And at that time, there was a water marathon of between Mayan people and Azteca tribe to become friends again, because they had all this problem in the past. But in that time, what they did was they carried this water from California or Arizona or wherever, and then did the marathon through Camino Real in California, and came all the way down to Mexico City. And there they got all together, and Dr. Emoto was there to celebrate this friendship again. And that, it was really beautiful, and they started their friendship once again. And what I'm trying to say right now is, where I think it would be helpful for all the Native American tribes to get together so that they can find a peaceful movement that can be a solution for this problem that all the tribes may have, so that they don't really have to fight against the government.
Yeah.
But when it grows, it will be a peaceful solution, I think. Yeah. Do you think it will be helpful?
Yes, like I mentioned, just about a month ago, I did receive information that the United Nations has accepted the Declaration on Indigenous Rights. It's there, and it needs support. And that is a rallying cry for all Native tribes to know about this, and very few tribes know about this declaration, I'm finding out. But
wonderful.
I need to get that out,
Okay, and another thing I wanted to see was if we make this Hopi spiritual trip between the 19th and 28th of April next year, do you think you may be able to talk about this with the people we get together during that time do the ceremony? Spiritual ceremony there?
Yeah, sure. That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Now, I would love to do the Hopi spiritual ceremony there with all the people who will be supporting this movement and tribe, Native American people, especially Hopi, for this moment.
Yeah. Leon, are you still there?
I'm sorry, what, Martha?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Why don't you share what we were talking about earlier about the next donation?
Well, we're looking at possibly doing a concert, and we were talking to Ernest about putting together a concert there, and that's going to be in March. And we're looking at doing a benefit concert. And those funds will be to help whatever we need to do, whether legal or whatever we need to do on that. And that concert will be sometime in March, and we'll be doing a lot of promotions. Is that the one you're talking about, Martha?
Yeah, well, and the fact that you have some portable ones, because at the next event that we're doing December 8th, we want to take those funds since, the wonderful supporters stepped up to get some of the immediate needs for the Hopi that, as a Play It Forward, we're hoping to raise enough funds to get an additional solar unit, one that the Hopi can then present to whatever tribe they want. And, we'll just go from there. And those portable ones can go from village to village. And so, like we say, all roads lead to the Hopi, and then it can spread from there.
Because the way it would go would be because we're already putting the solar unit there to be moved around. Remember I told you about the homes that have no water? We're going to have the solar unit with the water store, and all the units will be working with either solar or no electricity, so it's not going to be a cost. We're going to use, the sun and with the solar units to produce the water. And what Martha was saying, we're going to put a water cart that we're going to already have there, but get funds for an additional water cart to give, like, to the Navajo. And then they would get another water cart to give to another tribe that needs water. And so we would just spread it that way with our solar units. And the good part about those solar units, they can produce 740 gallons of water an hour. And you don't have to change the filters to after 500,000 gallons of water has been used.
Goodness.
And basically, you're just washing the filters. It's like a sock. And it's all solar. So that's a really good thing.
Wow.
That's
wonderful.
Be a
good training for the kids.
You
know. That's exactly what we want. We want the children to get involved, teach them all about the water units. The good part about these water units, you can assemble them like Legos. So that's a really good thing, and you only need a sixth grade education. So that's
that's a wonderful education.
Wow.
And these water units is in like 32 other countries. We've put them in with World Vision, the Peace Corps, AIDS Foundation. So we got a good track record on these solar water units.
Well, I remember, Leon, I remember when you first came on my show, this was back in May, and Martha had recommended that I have you on. So you were a great guy, and I had you on. And you were talking about the work you were doing in Africa. And so I stopped for a minute. And remember when I asked you, I said, well, what about Native Americans in this country, like the Hopi? They need clean water, too. And so that led to today. And I'm glad.
Yep. That's how it all happened. I can't believe it, because we did a big project in Swaziland, Africa, with the Peace Corps and a company called Mango. They were an AIDS foundation, and we'd put over 250 water units in these orphanages. And Ted said on his show, what are you doing in America? And I said, you know, we're not really in America. We are in 32 different countries. And he said, well, I know of a tribe in America that can probably use these water units, and it was the Hopi tribe. And that's how it all started. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And you'd been looking for tribes and didn't have the right connection. And that's where Michiko, you came in there, too. So here again.
Well, this is really such a wonderful project. And I just want to let you know, also as part of MOTO Peace Project, well, Mexico, we're going to start this project in March next year to help those people who, there's a natural lake called Chapala, where people are living around that area. This water is deeply contaminated with heavy metal and arsenic water. So, and so many children and people are having liver problem and dying from drinking this water. And so starting in March, I mean, we're doing some fundraising. And also we're inviting Dr. Pollack to this conference in March. And from there, we're going to start distributing this water unit to those children and hospitals and schools in this area around Lake Chapala. So you'll be with us.
Yep.
Okay, Leon and Martha and Ted.
That'll be wonderful.
That's exactly right. It's going to be beautiful. Yes.
It's going to be.
Michiko, could you please tell my audience, listening audience, and everyone here today about Dr. Emoto's experiments with polluted water and the power of intention and the power of prayer, because I think that's worth talking about here briefly. We've got about 8 minutes left.
Okay. Well, Dr. Emoto has studied, and it's especially with the radiation, he put love and gratitude, water crystal, because everything is energy. And he put that love and gratitude, water crystal, along with words, love and gratitude, to polluted water. And he set it aside for 48 hours. After that, he tested and discovered that the water molecule became structured beautifully again. So our energy, our love and gratitude contribute so much. Water receives that energy, and it can restore it himself or herself to become a beautiful water again from the molecular level, or even smaller particle, and become brilliant, beautiful energy. So that's something that everybody can learn. And as Hopi has been, or Vernon just said, water is sacred. Water can receive, can feel what we are thinking, what we are feeling. if we are pure-hearted and truth, our mind and heart becomes one, then water can really restore and contribute to us. So that's something that Dr. Emoto has discovered, and also Hopi, the tribe Hopi has been delivering to people about water.
Wonderful, wonderful. Vernon, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left, and you mentioned that there was a second god in the ocean. Could you tell us a little bit about that in the few minutes we have left?
Well, if possible,
I probably asked something
it's
like...
It's really just a preliminary idea, conclusion that I'm coming to, because everything in Hopi works, has opposites, you know, up, down, war, peace, so forth and so on. And the bad and the good, but you need both of them to keep the earth rotating in balance. So I was thinking one time about what Hope is saying in a very brief way. They said everything vibrates.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a vibrating world. The universe is vibrating, everything. So through these vibrations, we are connected to the universe. We are of the universe, and the universe is of us. So I was kind of thinking about that. And then I started reading books about the latest movement, which Einstein started. Where the scientists now are now playing around with what they call string theory. Again, Einstein opened the door to that, but his theory never became law, and I joke that the reason is he did not put human consciousness into his mathematical model. He was looking at just the mechanical side of it, not the consciousness. And that... That made me wonder, well, what is consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, scientists can't see it, weigh it, put it under a microscope. They know a lot about how the brain works.
Right.
But consciousness, what is consciousness?
Right.
And that's when I said, maybe the consciousness lies deep at the bottom of the ocean. There's life there. Hope is called Patiwakaji. Life. And it is that from there, Earth was born.
Mm-hmm.
And Earthlings came about. So we all now have that consciousness. But I think we're a long ways from trying to figure out what it's all about. String theory. Mm-hmm. What is string theory?
Mm-hmm.
I said, to me, string theory is spider grandma's web, the spider web.
Sure, sure.
You know, grandma spider is one of the is a creator of life on the universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, on Earth.
Fascinating.
And she has two assistants, mm-hmm. twins. Mm-hmm. We call them. One is a weaver, one's an echoa.
Vernon, I'm sorry to tell you this, my friend, but we're going to get in close. We've got about a minute left. Send me some information on CPOP so I can start, you know, I'd love to have a show on it to get support for your efforts. And then I'd like to wrap it up. Leon, you first, Martha, you second, and Mitchie, and then Vernon. We got about a minute left, so go ahead, quick.
Yes, we will inform everybody when we do the installations. We're going to have inauguration celebration of those water units.
Okay.
Hopefully they'll be there by Christmas. We know they will.
Good.
And we'll be sending out pictures and everything to everybody, and can't wait for the inauguration celebration.
Okay, great. And Martha?
Yeah, just another little quote from the one I saw earlier. It says, water simply changes form. and continues evolving into every new shape and beauty. And well, I really like the way that where this is going.
Wonderful. Man, Mitchie, go ahead, quick.
Well, thank you. Yes. Well, I'm so happy that water knows the answer and bringing us all together and making this beautiful movement to help not only just Hopi people, but everyone on earth with pure-hearted people.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to this Hopi spiritual ceremony that will that we will be doing between the 19th and 28th of April.
Wonderful. And Vernon and Mitchie and Martha and Leon, thank you so much for coming on today. And I appreciate you all so much. And thank you again, everyone around the world, for your help in getting clean water for the Hopi.
Would you know?